Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine. Today we're going to look at spring house cleaning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have toward us, and that, God, you always help us to love you better. Thank you, Father God, that you are always available to us. Thank you for this time together in your word, that you have given us your word, that we may be more like you day by day, that we may see you, understand you, and be like you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, today we're going to look at spring house cleaning. Now, I know it's not spring, or maybe you'll be listening to this when it is spring. But it doesn't matter if it's at the heat of summer or the dead of winter. We always can do some spring house cleaning. The reason this came to mind, I wanted to share this passage because it came to mind today when this sounds terrible, but I had been reading in the nighttime and I had my glasses on, and then I woke up and I couldn't find them. So I thought, well, they're somewhere in the bed. So I began to pull back the covers and then pull it back farther, then maybe between the sheet, under the pillow, looking everywhere. I couldn't find them. Well, by this time, I'd had the bed 3/4 dismantled. So I thought, well, I might as well just strip the bed and wash the sheets, which I've done. And still haven't found the glasses, but that's neither here nor there. It reminded me of this passage, and I just wanted to share it. Because I don't know what place you find yourself in today, but we always, from time to time, find ourselves having lost things. Maybe you've lost your zeal for God. It isn't that you noticed it. It just little by little has disappeared. Maybe you have lost your love of prayer. Maybe you've got relationships. I had surgery, and then after an accident, and then my friend had surgery. So for a year, we've been kind of jostling, taking care of each other back and forth. And I've let some relationships just slide. Sometimes we lose good habits with ourselves, and then we recriminate ourselves. Well, you never used to be like that, you know, and et cetera. So any number of things we can have as losses that we don't see. So much of the time we're always asking God to add to us, to give us more. One of the things that I love about about the miracles of the fishes and loaves, one of which is After everybody had eaten, Jesus dispatched his disciples to gather up the fragments that nothing be lost or nothing be wasted. So much of the time we can live off the fragments. We keep asking God for more, but if we would just keep track of what we have, I remember my father telling us that we couldn't have a car until we could prove that we could take care of it. We go backwards. We take two steps forward and then one step backwards. That's why one of the fruit of the Spirit, the last of the list of fruit of the Spirit, is temperance or self-control. Because God can give you something. You know, you can pray, and God opens a door and you get a job and you're so excited about it. And then you just get slack. You don't show up on time. You dress slovenly. You don't have a good attitude, little by little. And then you can find yourself having lost that job that you fervently prayed for. So faith can bring us something, but temperance has to help us keep something. We all know that you can have a little fit of temper and want to do something that's destructive. And then all you have is whatever it is you broke, you know. So these are not mild things. So we're going to look at this parable today on loss and finding. The core to it to me, however, what brought it to mind is I've just been thinking about all these places where God tells us to rejoice. Rejoicing is something that maybe we need to make a habit of doing, not just when something strikes us, but I have a good friend who always talks about get back to grateful. And there was a little sign I saw at a facility I was in. It said, there's always something to be thankful for. And it was just a simple little thing, but it really struck me that at any moment we should be able to stop. What are you thankful for? What are you grateful for right this moment? There's always something to be grateful for. And that leads us to rejoice. I've been thinking about rejoicing, how good it is for us to actively choose to rejoice, not react. Something happens and we rejoice by reaction, but we rejoice. Okay, all that aside, let us go to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, and we'll be in chapter 15. Now, it's still our teaching class, so we got to remember what we do. Anytime we start to look at a passage, we ask ourselves, where was it written? What was the purpose of it being written? And of course, in the Gospels, we know they all show a different aspect of Jesus. For example, in John, he is seen as the Son of God. But in Luke, which is where we are, he is seen as the Son of Man. Now, all of them tell the same story, but there's a different emphasis. There's a different purpose. And so Luke is written showing his humanity. And that's why, you know, you read in Luke, you always see the stories of, oh gosh, him dealing with the lost, the desolate, the leper, the widow. It's all of the what we would call the, you know, misfits and outcasts. His humanity reaches to the nth. And so this is where we are, and we are in the book of Luke. So we see the emphasis in our humanity. And again, we can remember we're talking about loss. In the Lord, in the Spirit, we lose nothing. We are given all things. You know, we have the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. But that doesn't mean we live in that. Sometimes we can not develop it. We cannot realize it. Sometimes we just have it and then let it slide or slip and we don't know. So anyway, loss in humanity, God can give to us, and we, instead of just asking for more, like in the miracle of the fishes and loaves, we are just as wise to just not lose what we have. So here we see him in his humanity, Luke chapter 15. We're just going to read three verses, 8 through 11. Either what woman, he's telling a parable here, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. We're basically going to focus on verse 8, but I want to take a quick look at a couple of things in 9. And when she had found it, when, not if, is a foregone conclusion. If there is something God put in your hand, you and it's lost, it's not if you can find it, it's when you find it. But it's also, look at that word, found. It wasn't given again. It wasn't, she had to find it. Then she calls her friends and neighbors in together. So many of us, when we lose something, we lose a little financial security, or we lose a little bit of our joy, or we lose a little bit of something, you know, of favor with man or something. That's when we call in all our friends and neighbors and we start to complain and we start to bellyache and we start all of those, as the Old Testament, murmuring. I guess murmuring and complaining is a little more biblical than bellyache, but we all know what I'm talking about. She did not call her friends and neighbors to say, woe is me, look what's happened to me. She didn't even call them in to help her find it. But when she found it, she called them in to rejoice with her. And that's truly what we need to do on the spiritual level. There are some things, and I mean, I am more than grateful for the prayers of the saints. Dear Lord, I don't know where we would be without them. And me personally, where I'd be without it, seriously. But there are just some things that you keep between you and God. And then when you have victory, you call everybody in to rejoice. Now, granted, there are times we share our load. I'm not saying we don't. But we just don't call in everybody, throw up our hands every time something has happened. So anyway, she called her friends in to rejoice. And she didn't keep it hidden. She didn't say, oh, well, that never happened. Well, she admitted it had happened. But she said, but that's all right. Rejoice with me, because that which was lost has been found. Amen. So now let's look at 8. I'll tell you a story about this. I was, this was a long time ago. It's hard to say it's a long time now, but it was a long time ago. And I had been asked to speak at a women's conference. And I was, you know, pretty honored, because there were a lot of other folk there that, you know, you see big in ministry and you kind of think, wow, you, not that you want to impress them, but you certainly don't want to embarrass yourself in front of them. So I'd been asking God what I should share. God kept leading me back to this parable, and my rationalization is, my mind is, here are all these, like, you know, important, powerful ministry women, and I'm going to talk about sweeping the floor. I was like, well, I just didn't want to do that. But then it's like, okay, Lord, we'll do that. And I saw something so beautiful in this. First off, just that Jesus used a parable of cleaning. Jesus used a parable a lot about women and talked with women, and there were miracles for women. It's not that he, you know, he was at home among women as he was among men. Anyway, so now he's talking about these 10 pieces of silver. That's not a savings account. Let me just explain this Oriental custom to you. It'd be more similar to your wedding ring or your mother's pearls, okay? When in the Orient, when there's a wedding, one of the customs among a lot of the people is the bride will be seated and she has her hands folded in her lap, but palms up. And the man, the groom, will come and he will place 10 silver coins in her palm. And kind of one of the the superstitions, the way we have some about weddings, is the brides believe that when he deposits those coins, then she falls in love with him, because of course many of these weddings were arranged. But anyway, so he deposits these coins in her hand. These coins are more than just coins. These coins are like a wedding ring. And if you've ever done that, you know, have your wedding ring on and you take it off to wash something or do something, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't find it. And you run back to the sink, and then you go, maybe I put it over on the dresser. And you can have a panic. You took it off. It isn't that you threw it away. It isn't somebody stole it. But you just can't remember where it was. Now, the thing is that you wear your wedding ring all the time. These 10 pieces of silver are pulled out for special occasions. You've seen like the Bedouin women who have the coins or jewels or things, not jewels exactly, but coins hanging off their scarves. We even have makeshift imitations of them in our stores now. Sometimes you'll see scarves that will have little danglies on them or in them. And, you know, the women would wear those, not just showing their wealth, but showing their status. There was also a thing of modesty. Remember when the Old Testament talks about the women, talks negatively about the women who jingle when they walk. Well, you learn to walk in a modest way so you aren't jingle, 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 you know, wiggling a lot, et cetera, when you're going to draw men's attention. But anyway, these coins mean so much more. And, you know, it's like, I use the other example, like your mother's pearls or something like that. Maybe you have your grandmother's wedding ring, or you have some special piece. You put it away. You pull it out for special occasions, maybe, you know, whatever it may be. So maybe you only wear it at Christmas. And you go to the box and, oh my gosh, it's not there. And it's been a year since you wore it and you can't remember. Well, you don't remember that you reorganized everything and moved it to the other side or whatever you did. But it's more than just, oh, I lost even a valuable piece of jewelry. It's one that talks about your heritage. It talks about, you know, the stories to the jewelry that you got handed down. And maybe you haven't had any, but you can imagine what I'm saying. So that's what these 10 pieces of silver were. So she goes to her box to open it up. Maybe she's going to get dressed for a wedding or something. And oh my gosh, she can only find 9 of them. Well, what happened to the 10th one? And that's where a lot of times our life can be. We still have our salvation, we still have the joy of the Lord, we still have our faith, we still have our knowledge of the scriptures, but maybe we've just lost a little passion, or maybe it was funny, I oftentimes go in talking, spending time with older saints with dementia, and they can't talk to me, and they can't tell me stories, and they don't even hear the scripture, but I'll sing hymns to them. I'll sing old hymns. Oh, their faces light up. They remember them. But I found that, like, it was funny. A friend of mine who's also a chaplain, we were talking about that. And I, like, quoted a line from one, thinking it was one hymn. Well, he thought it was another one. And he went off singing that hymn. And I thought, I had forgotten about that one. So then I said, well, I was singing this one. He said, oh, I'd forgotten that one. It's like we can lose those, too. We can lose that wealth. The same thing when you go to quote a scripture you've always quoted. You know that one by heart. You know the whole chapter by heart. And for the life of you, you can't remember what it says. And it can kind of be embarrassing sometimes. But so sometimes, without us realizing it, we've lost a little bit. She had the 9 coins. She just, that 10th one, she didn't know where it was. So all of that, so what does she do? Here's the thing. We all understand loss. We know what it means to lose. How do we get it back? That's the question. How do we find it again? And Jesus says 3 simple things. He says, number one, what woman won't do this? In other words, every woman knows to do this. What one wouldn't do this? Number one, you light a candle. Number two, you sweep the floor. And number three, you seek diligently till you find it. One, two, three. There are three steps to this finding that treasure that's gone missing. Whatever that treasure, maybe that treasure is a relationship with a friend. You know, like I said, we've been busy taking care of other things and relationships, friendships that have been for mine for decades. I realize I've let go being in touch with people. I need to find that key. Number one, light the candle. Number two, sweep the floor. And number three, seek diligently. Now, that sounds so simple, but when we apply it to those things in our life, number one, light the candle. Okay, I was, it was something else I was looking for today. A friend came over and asked me to borrow some, or not borrow, but to use something. And I said, sure, I've got three of them. And I started looking one place and run to the other place and look, couldn't find any of them, but I knew where one was that I emptied out. What we do is we kind of run here. No, maybe it's here. Oh, no, run over there. Maybe it's over there. Oh, where did I put that last? And then we run to another place. Jesus said, just quit running around. And we do that when there's something in our life that seems missing or, you know, lackluster. We'll run here, run there, you know. But what he says is, number one, light a candle. And we understand that light always speaks, you know, of the Lord's word. Speaks of the word. It, and the candle also is a flame. It speaks of the Spirit. So number one, you have to throw light on that thing. There was something a friend of mine was looking for. I guess we've been looking for a lot lately. I don't know. But I had gotten her a whole bunch of something. She couldn't find it. She forgot about it. She couldn't find it. Well, it was at the back of a cupboard. She piled it in there very neatly. But because we just pulled the door open and looked to the front, we went by it three times, four times, and then, oh, it's back here. You have to let the light in. You know, we may not use a candle, we may use a flashlight in the natural, but the Spirit, for thy word is a light unto my feet, you know, a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. The light of the Holy Spirit, the light of the word, these things, the flame of the Spirit, these things illuminate. And you can't see where you can't see. That may sound overly simplistic, but when we're groping around in the dark for things, we don't find them. Now, that sounds pretty simple, except the truth is that many times we want to look without the light being shined on it. Let's say, for example, I feel that I've let, I'm way too irritable. I'm just not nice to be around as much as I was. And that bothers me. The first thing I have to do is shine a light on that. And that light is, why am I like that? And I might not like what I see. No, is it because I have become too self-centered? Oops. Is it because I've not been praying or reading scripture enough to keep my eyes on God? Oops. Is it because in any number of things, but you see, we don't really want to hear it. That's one of the things about counseling. It may be one thing that drives you to counseling, but what the counselor is going to do is shine a light on all that darkness. You can't, you know, a dentist has to work in your mouth and it's dark in there. The first thing they do is shine a light. I don't want him drilling in the dark, hoping he finds the right spot. But when he shines a light on it, then he sees everything, doesn't he? And so we have to let God shine a light. We have to light a candle and say, okay, Lord, you tell me where I'm wrong, you know. Then number two is sweep the floor. When we sweep, I've got new wooden floors in all my house, and it's lovely, but there must have been dust that was in the carpet that I didn't see it. I would vacuum and it'd get up. But on the wood floors, I can see it. And it's like, man, how did that get there? There isn't, you know, it's just dust floating around or this or that. It's not like it's, you know. But when I sweep, the first thing I have to do is reach into those dark places, don't I? Throw a light on them. And when I sweep, if I'm looking for something, say I've lost an earring, and I, you know, take the dust mop and run it under the bedside table, I may find the earring under there, but I'm going to find a lot of other dirt under there too, aren't I? I have to be willing to get out all the dirt first. It's like when you want to clean out your drawers, you know, reorganize your drawer. The first thing you do is make a big mess. If you're going to have a small mess, it's easier to kind of just shove them in there. But you pull everything out, reorganize, see what you've got, fold it, put it away, close it, that's fine. But to clean out, like, you know, drawers or clean out your closet, to clean up a mess, sometimes you have to make a bigger mess. So we have to sweep, and there's a lot of dirt that collects in the corners. Like I said, I have no idea where that came from. It wasn't, you know, it's just even rooms, we all know that, rooms that have been shut up. Nobody's been in there. Nothing's been happening. And yet you go in and you find all kinds of little dust bunnies here and there. You find, you know, when you sweep the floor, you can't just sweep to get the one thing you want. You have to deal with all the other stuff. Okay, so that's number two. And that makes sense. But what about this number three? Seek diligently. Okay? Seek diligently. A lot of times we want to just bring the broom out, run it under the desk, and oh, there it is. That's what I was looking for. Well, sometimes it isn't that simple. You know, when you, like, I was looking for this one thing today, and I tried the garage, then I tried the other side, then I tried the cupboard, then I tried the closet. I tried all these different places where it could be. You have to keep looking. If I looked in the first place, I know I left it here, and opened the drawer and it wasn't there. Well, okay, I guess I don't have it anymore. I guess I've lost it. You have to seek diligently. Light a candle. Illuminate that thing. Sweep. Don't be afraid of the dirt. Clean that place out. Not only will you find what's lost, but you'll feel so much better about things. And then number three, seek diligently. Don't give up easily. Sometimes things don't happen instantly. And it's not a bad thing. Sometimes it requires us being diligent. We have become such an instant society. If we have immediate hunger, you drive through someplace and get food immediately. Not being, well, I'm going to need dinner tonight, so I start thawing and cooking and et cetera, and then we eat. The same thing is with, we want entertainment. I don't have to wait until I have an evening and I can go see a movie. I just, you know, play it on my phone or my iPad. It's right there. Even Bible. I know that sometimes I still flip my pages. Where is that scripture? Well, everybody else, boom, 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 they've already got it up on their phones. Well, great, we have it instantly. But sometimes I have found some of the best scriptures on my way looking for another scripture. I'm not against convenience, and I am not against some things being instant. But there are some things that it's okay to be diligent about. I had also been thinking about the woman who complained to the judge. Jesus was using that as a parable for prayer. He said, you know, the widow who came all night, clamoring all night at the judge's house for justice.
And he finally said, he was an unjust judge, it says, and he finally let her have her way just to shut her up. Now, I certainly don't want to be that with God. God just like, let me have it, just keep her quiet. But that is one avenue to victory, is perseverance, persistence, diligence. Some people who are not the best at something, but they stay diligent at it, get to be where they want to be, where they feel called to be, what they feel they'd love to do. So Jesus gave us a real simple formula. When we feel like something slipped, it didn't even that we were aware of it. We went to look for it, and it's like, you know what? Yeah, I used to be like that. Or yeah, that used to be. We'll look at an old photo, and it reminds us of something. And Jesus said, look, it's not, you know, this is my interpretation. Look, it's not difficult. Every woman who keeps house understands this. You do three things. And I do that. I'll tell you, like with some kinds of cleaning, summertime, it's easy. But in the winter, there'll be times I'll flip on, I'll have really high lights and I'll clean. But there's some things it's like, I'll wait till tomorrow to do that. When there's sunshine, where we are, we've had so many rainy days, and I think a lot of it has suffered. I can't see as well to clean when I don't get daylight flooding the room. And then, you know how you do your windows and you're proud, then you go, then the sunshine comes in, you go, ooh, look at all those streaks. You know, we need that light, and it's the same with us. We may think things look okay. That's why they keep a lot of restaurants and bars very dim, because if you really saw how it looked, you wouldn't want to eat there, you know. But the light, when we illuminate a circumstance or a situation, we have to be willing to shine that light into all the corners, even the dusty ones and the dirty ones where we've hidden something we didn't really want to deal with. Then we have to sweep the floor. We have to get all of that dirt out of there. Just get it out. Just be done with it. And then if you don't find it instantly, keep looking. Maybe I left it in the garage. Yeah, no, maybe I put it out in the shed. No, maybe I know where that is. You just keep looking. Keep looking. Because remember the first words of that next verse are, and when she found it, not if she found it, when she found it. If we will illuminate things, if we'll be willing to clean them out, if we'll be willing to be diligent, God's word is that it's when, not if, we shall recover that which is lost. I don't know what may or may not be missing in your life today. It may be nothing. But there are things I know the longer we live in the Lord, there are things that kind of fall by the wayside, you know. And we have a formula from Jesus on how to retrieve and recover those things. And then when all is said and done, there is rejoicing. My prayer for you this week is that may God open your eyes to see what it is that if you could recover would refill you with joy and rejoicing. Heavenly Father, I thank you that this week we each recover at least one little coin, something that's meaningful to us, something of value to us, that God, you give us the grace to shine a light, sweep the floor, and be diligent until we also can call others in to rejoice with us. In Jesus' name, amen. May this be the best week of your life. Look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. 4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him